Hi, everyone, and welcome to Food Disruptors, an IFT podcast that brings you the latest insights and perspectives from some of the brightest minds in the science of food. In each episode, our guests discuss the ever-changing intersection of entrepreneurship, innovation, and science and their role in advancing our global food system. This week, we're joining with IFT's International Division to explore the world of food foundations, a play on words that focuses on foundations that seek to improve global food security and food as the foundation for global health, well-being, and prosperity. I'm your host, Matt Teagarden, and today we warmly welcome Grameen Foundation, whose legendary work in poverty and hunger reduction emanates from its founder, Nobel laureate Muhammad Yunus. Our guests today are Donna Rosa, International Business Development Services Consultant and IFT International Division Chair-Elect, and Mona McCord, the Director of Agricultural Innovations at the Grameen Foundation. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
So Donna, why don't you take a few minutes to introduce yourself?
So I'm Donna Rosa. As Matt mentioned, I'm the chair-elect of the International Division who's sponsoring this. I'm also the organizer of this podcast series where we're talking to different foundations in the world of food. I spent most of my career in the food industry. However, now I work in international development, helping small farms, farm organizations, and food processors with the business and commercial aspects of their operations. So I work in other countries and based in the U.S.
Excellent. And Mona, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Matt. As you mentioned, my name is Mona McCord, and I am the Director of Agricultural Innovations at Grameen Foundation. So with that, I lead the innovations in ag and transformative strategies to oversee engagements with a range of public and private and government partners in order to better serve smallholder farmers in Africa, Asia, and Latin America.
So Mona, most IFT members are probably not familiar with Grameen Foundation and your work in agriculture, poverty, and hunger. Can you give us some history on the foundation? And specifically, how it evolved to have food as one of its focus areas since it started out as a microfinance support organization.
Great, sure. Yeah, thanks. So Grameen Foundation was actually founded in 1997 by Alex Counts after he spent some time in Bangladesh as a Fulbright scholar and witnessed innovative poverty solutions being developed by Grameen Bank. So while he was in Bangladesh, he was fortunate to be trained under Professor Muhammad Yunus, the founder and managing director of Grameen Bank, who subsequently was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006 for pioneering the concept of lending small amounts of cash, almost always women, who could then use it to start or sustain a small business. So given that women in developing countries play a significant role in food and nutrition security for their families, either through the production of agricultural crops or economic access to availability of food, microcredit became a tool that could enhance a woman's abilities and resources to provide for her family. So then, food security became a very natural focus area for Grameen Foundation. And to this day, there is an incredible focus and commitment by staff and board members at Grameen Foundation and its mission to enable the poor, especially women, to end poverty and hunger. So if I could just maybe share a little more history about Grameen Foundation in its first decade. Grameen Foundation worked with a network of microfinance institutions around the globe to extend microfinance to the world's poorest as a strategy to reduce poverty and improve food security. So Grameen Foundation provided its partner organizations with financing and technical support so that they could reach millions of low-income people with innovative credit to help reduce vulnerability. By 2009, it had a 52-member network that provided microloans and other services to 10.9 million low-income clients. So then in the second decade, Grameen Foundation recognized that 70% of the world's poorest people are women, children, and men who live in rural environments and strongly depend on agricultural activities. So it broadened broadened its approach to tackle multiple dimensions of poverty and began designing innovative financial and agricultural extension solutions for subsistence farmers in Africa and Latin America. Starting in 2006, Grameen launched its community knowledge worker model in Uganda, which laid the basis for a new approach to address problems faced by poor farming households. The community knowledge worker model or initiative that we actually call CKW trained and provided thousands of dynamic community-based agents access to an easy-to-use smartphone application that they could then use to collect basic farm and household information and then share high-impact agricultural extension services on green bananas, maize, and coffee to over 300,000 of their peers across Uganda. So today, Grameen continues to use iterations of the model in other countries to enable much-needed access to information, inputs, markets, and finance that ultimately leads to sustainable increases in farm productivity and income.
Great. That's a really good overview of what your foundation does, and especially the explanation of microfinance, which may be a sort of a new concept to our audience. So thanks for that very comprehensive overview. So in a little more detail about your history, in 2016, you merged with a nonprofit called Freedom from Hunger. And that organization's roots go back to Meals for Millions, which developed and introduced multi-purpose food, which is a high-protein powdered food supplement. So tell us the backstory about that and explain what synergies you've realized with Freedom from Hunger.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So Grameen Foundation actually has two really great legacies that have shaped its mission. One stems, of course, from Muhammad Yunus and the concept of microcredit. And the other stems from Freedom from Hunger and its founding organization, Meals for Million. As you noted, in 2016, Freedom from Hunger merged with Grameen Foundation to tackle poverty and hunger from multiple directions, including, using digital innovations to end poverty and community-based savings and lending groups to reduce poverty and hunger. So the Meals for Million Foundation of Los Angeles was actually a nonprofit organization founded in 1946, and it was also dedicated to the eradication of hunger in the world through this 3-cent meals sort of approach. And the plan was formulated by Clifford Clinton of Clinton Cafeterias of Los Angeles, which coincidentally just reopened in Los Angeles, I think a couple of years ago. And his assistant, with assistance from Dr. Henry Borzuk of the California Institute of Technology. So it was these two pioneers that developed multi-purpose food product, and that became the basis then for Meals for Million. And this multi-purpose food could be made for just 3 cents per meal. So the powder was tasteless and could be mixed with virtually anything to provide 1/3 of the daily vitamins, minerals, and protein needed by an average adult. So multi-purpose food was used for decades in global relief efforts in over 127 countries. And eventually Meals for Millions moved away from relief and towards the prevention of chronic hunger and self-help programming. And in 1979, it merged with the American Freedom from Hunger Foundation. The American Freedom from Hunger Foundation, as its name implies, was dedicated to serving the poor in rural areas in the U.S. At that point, then other organizations providing disaster relief and refugee assistance efforts took up the manufacturing and distribution of multi-purpose food. And I believe it's still being used today. Eventually, American Freedom from Hunger refocused its mission to bring innovative and sustainable self-help solutions to people around the world. And the name and American got dropped from its name. And at that same time, it was Muhammad Yunus and the concept of microfinance that inspired Freedom from Hunger to turn towards long-term solutions to prevent chronic hunger and poverty.
Excellent. Since our audience is a bunch of food technologists, they're probably wondering exactly what's in that multi-purpose food. Not that you have to give us the formulation, but do you know anything about the protein source, and does it have like vitamins and minerals added, or can you tell us a little bit about what's in there?
You know, I was just in the office the other day, and I was looking at a can of multi-purpose food. We still have a lot of cans left over from the early days. And I mean, of course, the can is all rusted out now, but I did not think to look at the ingredients. I do know that it's a soy-based powder, and I would imagine that there would be some vitamins and minerals that are added to it. And I also learned, and I don't know how true this is, but I did learn that the multi-purpose food kind of serves is part of the basis of today's power bars. So I'm not sure if that, how true that is, but that's what I had heard through the grapevine.
Interesting. Yeah, I was going to say it's probably soy-based. And the word multi-purpose food probably describes it, but it doesn't have a lot of marketing cachet to it. But yeah, I could see where something like that would be very useful in relief situations and others. So that's excellent. Okay, good. So let's turn a little bit to your work in utilizing digital technology for smallholder farmers. So we all know how information has changed our lives, and you're bringing it to help smallholder farmers. So can you share the details on the technology that you're using, including big data, and how that has improved farmers' businesses?
Yeah. So over the past 12 years, Grameen has deployed several technology solutions for agriculture, very specifically focused on smallholder farmers. And one particular solution was developed in 2014 to help build the resilience of smallholder coconut farming households in the Philippines. And so this digital tool was designed and deployed by Grameen, and it is called FarmerLink. The FarmerLink solution combines satellite data and farmer profiling data collected by mobile-equipped field agents to help coconut farmers increase productivity, address crop pests and diseases, and ultimately increase the sustainability of their farms. Field agents use special programming on their tablets to guide and train farmers during on-site visits. While they're visiting with the farmers, they collect farmer profiling data, which is then used to craft individual farm management plans and facilitate access to finance through partnerships with a local bank, whose ability to assess farmers' creditworthiness is enhanced through the sharing of the farmer profiling data with farmers' permission, of course. Grameen, for this particular project, also collaborated with a couple of technology service providers, including Aware, Palantir, and Engage Spark, in the development of an early warning system prototype that could then send text message alerts directly to the farmer's phone in the event of an extreme weather event and potential pest and disease outbreaks. So the messages also provided advice to farmers on how to minimize their losses. And it also was used by the government and their agents to basically send response teams to help control any outbreaks before they cause devastating losses.
So this is really interesting. The data that's collected, is it all collected via the field workers, or do you use data, let's say meteorological data, weather service, or drone collected data, or anything else, or is it just the from the farmers?
Yeah, so the farmer profiling data is collected from the field agent, and I should say it's fairly extensive. It's socioeconomic data, it's financial data. And it's also environmental data, looking at the conditions of the farm, and that all gets inputted into the application. So the field agent has a screen that is prompting them to ask these questions. They load the information into the application, and then it gets put in the system into the back end, and then there's an algorithm that then uses the data to generate other information for the farmers and then for the bank as well. In terms of the weather alerts and the SMS messaging, that is using satellite data, and that's where the other technology service providers come into play, is to help facilitate all of that. So the data from the satellite then that gets then transmitted to the application and then conveyed to the farmers through SMS text messaging.
Okay. So this is a way for the farmers to mitigate their risk, because they may have some advance warning of, for example, a drought or pest infestation. And I assume that the field worker would then go out and help the farmers sort of prepare or be able to deal with whatever's coming. Is that right?
Yeah, the field worker or the farmer, him or herself, actually gets a message on their phone. When they get the warning, the early warning, they also get a message saying, here's what you should do in order to minimize your losses. And then give them some advice right then and there on their phone, so they don't have to wait for a field agent to come out. And then the government is involved as well, because they also get similar information. And so then they're able to send out their response teams to basically help any outbreaks to control any outbreaks before they cause any devastating losses.
So Mona, please share with us the strategies that Grameen uses to link agriculture, nutrition, and gender. And those three are very important.
Yeah, so Grameen Foundation uses savings groups as a strategy to link and provide integrated programming around agriculture, nutrition, and gender. And the savings groups are an important piece of Grameen's microfinance legacy and also the strategy. Over the years, we've found through our work in Mali, Burkina Faso, and Benin that women's savings groups are an effective and efficient platform to drive impact across multiple development outcomes, including family income, women's empowerment, children's nutritional status, and improved health knowledge and skills. So recently, Grameen wrapped up an integrated gender, agriculture, and nutrition project in Burkina Faso that leveraged women's savings groups to build community resilience. Under that project, close to 80,000 savings group members were provided access to climate-smart agricultural practices through agricultural extension support, customized group loans through linkages to formal financial institutions, nutrition education and training on farming as a business.
So yeah, I think you know that linkage between the three is really important, and you know, the savings groups are I've seen those work pretty much everywhere that they're used, as long as it's executed well. And it's a great way, especially for women, to empower women. And it's kind of like they have their own little mini bank where they contribute, and then they make loans to whoever needs it. And, you know, it works really well. So tell us a story or two of how Grameen helped a farmer or a community, so that it sort of brings it home for our listeners.
Sure. So with regards to the project in Burkina Faso and working with savings groups, as part of the end line evaluation, the team on the ground collected stories from women who participated in the project. And I'd like to share one of those stories with you that was collected from a woman by the name of Elizabeth Kisu. She is a member of a savings group called Relwende, and she's been a member since 2014. She's a 37-year-old woman and a mother of six children. She lives in a tiny village called Bora with her husband and children. And Bora is has about 1,000 inhabitants and is located 10 kilometers on a dirt road from the town of Yako in the central northern region of Burkina Faso. Elizabeth shared with us during the interview that her initial situation was fairly doom and gloom. She said she had to borrow money from her neighbors when she and her children became sick. She actually picked shea nuts and turned them into shea butter for sale. And then the proceeds from the shea butter were used to fund planting of cowpeas, which she would also sell at harvest when the prices were probably at their lowest. Because of the seasonal cash flow issues, she wasn't able to use fertilizers or other inputs that might enhance the yield. And she reported that her household faced food insecurity 4 months out of the year. Elizabeth then was able to share with us how she had benefited from savings collection services and credit granting in her savings group. And I want to quote her. This is a rough translation of what she said to us in the local language that's been then translated to French and then English. She did say that because of her savings group, she was able to increase her efficiency through better access and use of fertilizers and improved seeds. The number of bags of nieve, which is the cowpeas, produced her production doubled. In cases of illness, I can go to a health center I have known, and I consume rich and varied food. Also, I get a credit of 100,000 CFA, which is about $165 from the Burkina Caisse Populaire Network, which is one of the local network of credit unions. This loan allowed me and my husband to buy an ox. I could also buy a personal bike. And currently, I pick more shea nuts, and I also buy them in bulk from other people. The additional shea nuts has allowed me to increase butter production from 3 to 20 liters. And currently, my children have enough to eat. The number of meals is passed easily from 2 to 3 per day. So it's just kind of a testimony that she's provided about how savings groups and this collective of women have really supported one another to help improve their lives.
Yeah, it's so amazing how what seemingly small things can make such a huge difference in lives, you know, and going from two meals to three meals, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal. And, you know, it's not that hard to do. It makes such a huge impact. So love hearing stories like that.
And I think one of the things that always surprises me is learning about, you know, during that lean season, that is one of the coping strategies is to skip meals, which is hard to imagine for us, but for them, it just becomes part of what they do 4 months out of the year. And so programs like this then kind of help smooth that, you know, it's consumption smoothing to some degree, and, you know, and possibly income smoothing as well down the road.
Yeah, it's very common during lean seasons to have just one meal a day, and it's usually something really starchy because that's all they can afford. And so, you know, the nutrition plays a part in that as well. I just feel so strongly that people should have enough food to eat. They just should. So, you know, savings group is an enabler, you know, so people can eat. I mean, you know, it's pretty basic. So, so thanks for that story. Is there anything else or?
So I just want to put a plug in for the USAID Farmer to Farmer program that Grameen Foundation is currently managing in Colombia, the Philippines, and Kenya. And our team on the ground in these countries are actively recruiting volunteer consultants. And for your listeners that aren't familiar with the Farmer to Farmer program, the program leverages the expertise of volunteers from the U.S., U.S. farms, educational institutions, cooperatives, private agribusiness, businesses and nonprofit organizations to respond to local needs of host country farmers and organizations. So all expenses are paid during the assignment, such as travel, meals, lodging, and it's all organized by Grameen Foundation. So it'd be great if some of your listeners are interested in doing a 2 to 3 week assignment, and in the meantime, engaging in some cultural exchanges with the host country nationals.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I should also add to that we have recently posted some of your volunteer opportunities on our on our platform, our own foundation, Feeding Tomorrow, has a program called Volunteer Globally. And I know that you sent us some of those assignments. We have posted them on our career platform. So if anyone is interested in assignments, those or assignments such as that, please visit the Volunteer Globally program. And or if you really don't know where to go, just get a hold of me and I'll point you in the right direction. We're looking for food scientists. I cannot tell you what a good experience those volunteer assignments are. I've done many of them. It changes you. It just does. So I encourage everyone to give it a shot if time allows. So there's my plug.
Yeah. And thanks for posting them as well. We really appreciate it. And
we're happy to do it. So we have such a resource in all these food scientists that really want to help use their food science background to help feed the world. And they ask me all the time, how can I do this? And so that's how you do it. Thanks for that. And Mona, I just want to thank you so much for, taking the time to spend with us. I think we learned a lot about Grameen and what you do. It's been great having you here on our podcast. And please come back sometime.
Donna, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak about Grameen Foundation and share with your listeners what we're doing. So thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, thank you for your time and your thoughts, Mona. And thank you to our listeners. If you're enjoying Food Disruptors, please let us know by leaving a review on iTunes or by connecting with IFT. You can find us at IFT on Twitter and by searching the Institute of Food Technologists, or IFT, on Facebook and LinkedIn. Thanks for listening to Food Disruptors. I'm your host, Matt Teagarden. Have a great day, everyone.